glory and honor. God, it's not about me this morning, but it's about you. I've been placed here, oh God, to help to teach and feed your sheep, oh God. And even as I do that, oh God, I thank you that you are feeding me, that you are encouraging me, that you are enlightening me and helping me to do what it is you have called me to do. And so, Lord, as we all dive into your word together, I just pray that you will open up our minds, open up our hearts so that we can hear you, so that we can know you more, so that we can go out and act on the word, because it's no point to hear the word and not be a doer of the word. So just, God, with what we hear today, just let us make up in our minds that in this last week of our fast and our consecration time, God, that we'll give you all we got, oh God, and we'll just open ourselves to you even more so that that way you can speak to us and help us to see the great future that you have planned for us. And I give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to start with Hebrews chapter 4. And for those with the Voice Bible, it is on page 14. Let me see. I'm going to start with verse 9. So verse 9 starts on page 1485. But I'm going to read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. So Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 16. And the majority of the scriptures that I'm going to bring up actually came right out of our theme scriptures for our fast time, but I just wanted to kind of touch on a few things and just kind of give you some encouragement for the next week, and then we'll go from there. So again, Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 9, and it says, again, out of the Voice version, there still remains a place of rest, a true Sabbath for the people of God, because those who enter into salvation's rest, they lay down their labors in the same way that God entered into a Sabbath rest from his. Verse 11, so let us move forward to enter this rest so that none of us fall into the kind of faithless disobedience that prevented them from entering, and them meaning the children of Israel. The word of God, you see, is alive and moving, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and will of the heart. No creature can hide from God. God sees all. Everyone and everything is exposed, open for his inspection, and he's the one we will have to explain ourselves to. And the note in the version and Voice says, by God's word, everything finds a rhythm, a place. It fills, empowers, enlivens, and redeems us, but it also divides and destroys. It pierces and exposes our disobedience and unfaithfulness. Verse 14, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, who has passed through the heavens from death into new life with God, let us hold tightly to our faith. For Jesus is not some high priest who has no sympathy for our weaknesses and flaws. He has already been tested in every way that we are tested, but he emerged victorious without failing God. So let us step boldly to the throne of grace, where we can find mercy and grace to help when we need it most. And as I was like reading through those scriptures, and I'm not going to touch on really all of them, I just kind of like them all together, but I just kept thinking about the word rest. And the Greek word for the word rest is katapausis. Yeah, it's hard to, you know, hard to say, but K-A-T-A-P-A-U-S-I-S, katapausis. And it just means a putting to rest, a calming of the winds, or it means a resting place is the heavenly blessedness in which God dwells and of which he has promised to make persevering believers in Christ partakers after the toils and trials of life on earth are ended. And so pretty much what that's saying is that not only is it putting things to rest, you know, calming things down, but that word also means a actual place, a resting place. So for us, we think of it as heaven. When we leave this earth, we go to heaven. We don't have to worry about, you know, we don't have to worry about anything anymore. We're in a place of rest, you know, a place of peace, a place where everything is all taken care of. And so rest can mean both of those things. And the goal of, you know, our fast time, of this consecration time, is to really work all the things that we put in as guidelines for you to follow. It really all comes together to help bring us into that state of rest, into that state of peace that mimics the rest and the cessation of worry and, you know, gives us this place where we're in total trust of God in the same way that Jesus operated in a total trust of God. Jesus constantly operated from a place of rest. He constantly operated from a place of peace. And so when we go through this time that we're going through right now, the whole purpose of that is to bring us into, you know, the manifestation of what Christ wanted for us, which was to always live out of a place of rest and live out of a place of peace. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about, you know, a story back in the book of Mark. So if we go to Mark chapter four, verses 35 through 41, and that's page 1206 in the Voice version. So Mark chapter four, verses 35 through 41. Everybody got it? Page 1206 again. And it says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 4, the same evening, Jesus suggested they cross over to the other side of the lake. With Jesus already in the boat, they left the crowd behind and set sail along with a few other boats that followed. Verse 37, as they sailed, a storm formed. The winds whipped up huge waves that broke over the bow, filling the boat with so much water that even the experienced sailors among them were sure they were going to sink. Verse 38, Jesus was back in the stern of the boat, sound asleep on a cushion, when the disciples shook him awake. The disciples, they were shouting over the storm, Jesus, Master, don't you care that we're going to die? He got up and shouted words into the wind and commanded the waves. Jesus, he said, that's enough. Be still. And immediately the wind died down to nothing. The waves stopped. In verse 40, Jesus said to his disciples, how can you be so afraid? After all you've seen, where is your faith? Verse 41, the disciples were still afraid, slowly coming to grips with what they had seen. And they said to one another, who is this Jesus? How can it be that he has power over even the wind and the waves? And I thought it was interesting. You know, we've heard this story over and over again. You know, we kind of recite it to ourselves. But this time I looked at it differently. I looked at it and I saw Jesus got up from his rest and he immediately calmed the storm. He didn't have to think about anything. He didn't have to go ask somebody for prayer. He didn't have to get the prophet to say no words on it. He didn't need to get any oil out. He didn't do anything. He just woke up from a deep sleep. I mean, the boat was going crazy. I mean, it's taking on water. Imagine if we was on a cruise or something, even just going on the Spirit of Norfolk, for those of us who've been there, it hit a little bit of a wave. We all aware. We ain't going to sleep, you know. If you've been on a cruise, if it's a little choppy, you're not in your room sleep. You concerned, like, what's going on? What's going on? Jesus was asleep. He was knocked out. They had to come shake him awake. And when he woke up, the first thing he did was go and shout some words to the winds, to the waves. And it immediately calmed down. And what I realized is that, you know where that came from? It came from a place of faith. It came from a place of absolute trust. He constantly operated in that space. And so for us, when we take this time out, that's what we're doing. We're getting ourselves in that space of trust, that space of absolute faith, you know, to where it doesn't matter. No matter what is going to hit us, no matter what storm comes, whatever winds come, no matter whatever waves come in our life, any turmoil that comes into our life, we just get up and we like, stop, peace be still. And it just calms down. That's what this is all about. And so I was thinking about, it's like, okay, well, how did Jesus do that? How did he constantly, you know, operate in that state of peace, that state of rest? You know, how do we even get there? And I thought about Matthew chapter 4, in verse 4. And again, all these scriptures that I'm going through, you all are, you've heard these before. So I'm just putting it together for you in a different way. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, that's page 1154. You know what? How about, is there somebody out there who wants to read? It is Matthew 4, verse 4.
Okay. It is written, man does not live by bread alone. Rather, he lives on every word that comes from the mouth of the Eternal One.
Before I say what I'm going to say, we're going to jump back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. That's on page 1485. And if somebody has that, if you want to read for me. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I guess I didn't tell y'all be ready to read it. Just figured I'd make it a little more interactive.
Amen.
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where,
the word page of God. 1485. Uh-huh. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
It says, the word of God, you see, is alive and moving, sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and will of the heart.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that reading. And so those two together, you know where I'm going to go. What's the first thing? The first thing is that it's the word. Jesus was constantly in the word, because the word, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word is powerful. The word works. And, you know, I always remember somebody saying a long time ago, the word works if you work it, you know, and that's so important for us to realize that Jesus, when he was tested, the first thing that he was tested on was the word of God. And Jesus said, no, man shall not live by bread alone. We can't go out here and live our life just trying to get food and trying to get clothes and think that that's going to keep us together. No, it's the word of God. We have to feed on the word of God. And as we feed on the word of God, there will constantly be a word that comes out of us that settles us, so that way we can be in rest. We can be in trust. And what I'm likening rest to is just a place of quiet trust, you know, a place of quiet dependence upon the Father God, that he will take care of everything for us, no matter what is going on in our life. When we operate out of faith, when we operate out of trust, when we operate out of rest, we just relax because it's going to be taken care of. And so how did Jesus do it? He did it by first being full of the word of God. And we must do the same thing. That's why, you know, we have the memory scriptures. That's why we're reading, you know, reading our books, you know, our chapters every day, you know, or every other day, whenever you read it. That's why we always stress reading the word of God. It's not for fun. It's not for just our health. Granted, the Bible is so much fun. It's all kinds of greatness in there. But it's so that way you can get that word inside of you, so that way you can know, what are the promises that God has already given to me? And then you can stand on those promises no matter what happens. And that's not going to say everything in your life is going to be perfect, you know, but it's going to say that no matter what is going on, that you can trust that God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always have everything just taken care of for you. You know, and it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but it's going to all come together and work out. So the word of God is number one. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. That's on page 1260. I just have a few more scriptures after that, and then I'll be done. But Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Again, page 1260 for those who have the voice. Again, is there somebody out there that would like to read those scriptures?
Verses that?
Verse starting at verse 38. So Luke 10 starting at verse 38 and ending at 42.
Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem and came to another village. Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. Her sister Mary went and sat at the feet at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. Meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, why do you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to get over here and help me. And Jesus said to her, Oh, Martha, Martha, you are so anxious and concerned about a million details. And verse 42 says, but really, the only one thing that matters, Mary has chosen that one thing, and I won't take it away from her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's so from the word. This place, what it is that, yes, I agree, you know, Sister Dean, thanks for bringing that out, too. Oh. Mary chose, you know, to sit and listen to the word and feed on the word. But the other thing that you could take away from this passage, too, is that, you know, Jesus was saying we need to be single-minded. You know, we need to be focused on the right thing. There's a whole bunch of things. There are a whole bunch of good things that we can all focus on. But Jesus is saying, but only one is needful. Only Amen. One thing is essential for our life. And that one thing that's essential is to focus on the Master, to focus on the Word of God and everything that is coming out, you know, out of Him. And so, you know, again, it's about us taking that time out to focus on the thing that we need, the most important thing that we need to focus on. And, you know, I was going to go, you know, to have a scripture last, but I'm actually going to do the scripture first. And that's Matthew 6 and 33 and 34. It goes right hand in hand with this. And that is on page 1159. I'll probably read this one. So Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 33. Again, page 1159. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you too. So do not worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Living faithfully is a large enough task for today. Again, Amen. Right hand in hand, what is the most important thing for us? It is to seek the kingdom of God, to seek out his righteousness. Everything else that you need in your life is all going to come because of that. Well, how did Jesus operate out of that state of rest? He operated out of that because he didn't care about tomorrow. He didn't care about what was going to come. He was focused on just that moment and what needed to be done in that moment. And that's what he was number one focused on, the mission for which he came, to seek and to save those who were lost. You know, we have to all get to this place where we say, okay, God, what did you put us here for? You know, why am I here? You know, of all places, why aren't you in Africa? You know, why aren't you in Asia somewhere? Why are you right here connected with Free Spirit Worship Church? What is it that God has called you to do in the community that you're in? You know, what is that mission that he's given you? And if you can focus on that mission, you know, to help bring the kingdom of God into this earth, you know, to help to manifest the kingdom of God, bring heaven to earth, then you'll begin to see, you know, everything in your life just come together, you know, and that's what's so important for us. The last scripture, you know, that I have for you is in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and that's on page 740. And I'll read it to you. It's really quick. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, page 740, it says, above all else, watch over your heart, diligently guard it, because from a sincere and pure heart come the good and noble things of life. And so the reason why this time of consecration is so important is because as you begin to strip away all those things, you know, in your life that, you know, if you, you know, overeat, or if you watch too much TV, or if you're constantly on the go and you never take a minute to just rest and stuff, mm-hmm. then your heart gets all clogged up with all of that stuff, you know, the stuff where you can't really hear God for yourself. And so with this time out, what are we doing? We're cleaning ourselves out. Why do I say, you know, let's not eat after 8 p.m., you know, or, you know, let's not eat until 6 a.m.? It's because during that period of time, it's just a quiet period. It's a period where you're just, you know, cleaning yourself out, letting your body do its digestive, you know, work, you know, letting your mind just relax. Why did I say, you know, cut down social media, cut down all the news and stuff? Because, you know, when your mind is just taking in all that information, it's constantly working and going, and you don't know whether you're coming or going. Things is just a mess. But you know what? You don't realize that some of the things that are going on in your life is a reflection of what's going on in your heart. So if you can get your heart cleaned out, if you can, you know, and when I say get your heart cleaned out, how do you do that? By letting that word go into your heart, that word in your heart. And when you do that and you water it, you know, how do you water that seed that you planted? You read more of the word, you meditate on it. You know, I think about Joshua, you know, 1:8, that's one of our memory scriptures. It says, meditate on the word day and night. And if you do this, you will have good success, you know. And, you know, really quick, I'm just going to read that out of the voice version of the Bible. Let me see. I've got that. I think it's page 255, because I like the way it says, you know, Joshua 1:8, it says, let the words from the book of the law be always on your lips. Meditate on them day and night. Meditate on them day and night so that you may be careful to live by all that is written in it. It says, if you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. You know, that is a promise that if you take that word of God, plant it in your heart, meditate on it, mutter it, whisper it to yourself, read it, listen to it. It continues to water that seed. And as that seed is watered, then out of it, you know, flows the good thing, flows prosperity, flows success. And I'm not just talking money. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about mental stability, emotional stability. Reason why we're all over the place is because we're not stable. You know, we must be planted in the word of God. That's where our hope comes from. And if you do that every day, give God all you have, you know, then you will have good success. And so I sent a scripture out. I mean, I sent an article out to everybody, you know, and with that article, what it was talking about was that we as people, we need 7 kinds of rest. And so what we try to do, even with this fast, is remind you of that, you know, that you need physical rest. We all need to be sleeping a certain amount of time. I am guilty of, you know, only sleeping for like maybe 4 or 5 hours. But I realized that you can't survive like that all the time. You know, after a little while, like I may go a month or two, but then I kind of crash a little bit and I got to go sleep for like 7, 8, 9 hours or more to kind of recover myself. Your body needs that physical rest where you are sleeping. Your mind's not going a mile in a minute. You're not waking up all throughout, you know, you have to have that. You need mental rest. You know, again, all the stuff going on, your mind is just going. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I woke up this morning thinking about, all right, I got to do this. If I do it like this, then I can do this. And then I need to do that. I mean, I have so much in my head. And what it says is that, you know, you should have maybe a notepad. So that way, when you have all those thoughts going, write them down so that way you can give your mind a break. You know, we're thinking creatures. So I'm not going to say don't think, you know, please think. It's important to think. It's important to turn things over to make sure you're using the mind that God says. It said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind, you know, so use your mind that God gave you. But sometimes you do got to take a break and let your mind rest. It says sensory rest. You know, sometimes I'm guilty of this one too. Right now I got a phone on my left side, the laptop in front of me, and my iPad to the right of me. You know, I always have these things. They are like staples in my life. And I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is get my phone out, get my headphones in, start listening to either the word or listening to some teacher or something like that. Sometimes I just have to, you know, just stop that. I mean, I don't take a shower without music going. Some days I just have to stop that, you know, just have quiet, sensory rest, sometimes turn away from a screen. You know, we need creative rest. It says, you know, there are things that inspire us. We need to do those things that inspire us so that can settle us down. God can speak to you. If you love to paint, you should paint. If you love to read, you should read. If you love to write, you should write. Whatever the things are that are creative and inspiring to you, you should do those things. And don't let coronavirus stop you from that. There are all kinds of things you could be doing in your time at home that you could be, you know, learning and growing and just, you know, just kind of relaxing and hitting that zone. You know, sometimes when I'm writing or sometimes when I'm reading, I just feel like I hit the zone. And I feel like that's the place where God comes in and just, you know, he just speaks to me while I'm doing whatever that is. You need emotional rest. Sometimes Hallelujah. You have to realize that people on this earth are very needy. And they want to take every ounce of strength and energy and stuff that you have, you know. Thing I always remember that Jesus with the woman with the issue of blood, he, when you read that, it says there was a crowd pressing in on him as if to crush him. It says as if to crush him. So that means there were people all around pushing him in. And what did he say? He was like, who touched me? The disciples was like, Jesus, what is wrong with you? There's hundreds of people crushing you. How did, what do you mean? Everybody touched. He said, no, virtue has flowed out of him. He knew that somebody touched him. He was so aware, even in the midst of his ministry, that somebody pulled power and energy out of him. You have to realize that you have energy and power in you. And when people are constantly coming to you, pulling at you, like, you have to always realize who's drawing energy and strength from you.
Amen.
And as much as you love them, sometimes tough love means, listen, you got to go take care of that stuff on your own, because you can't keep trying to like pull off. I am not anybody's God. You know, people have to learn to trust in God for themselves. And you have to realize that you are nobody's savior. And if you're not careful about how much energy you're allowing flowing out of you, they'll kill you in the process. You know,
amen.
Put your life vest on. Put your oxygen on before you try to help somebody else. You need social rest. Again, you got to be around people that energize you. And then you need spiritual rest more than anything else. Every time we come into service, that's an opportunity for spiritual rest.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So those are just some practical things that we need to always keep in mind. So, you know, I just want you to just think on those things. You know, hopefully you can take at least one nugget from today. And we're going to just continue to be here for one another and encourage one another.